Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
We don't have a lot of high-level academic people here on this podcast, but when the chancellor of Pate State University wanted to come on, I couldn't turn that down. Josh Pate, Late Kick with Josh Pate, one of the top college football podcasts in all of the country. Do you prefer chancellor or president? Do you have a title that you like better?
I like chancellor because I can't even spell it off the top of my head without the red squigglies popping up. So any title that's harder to spell, I've always found brings more money on the salary end. Not that we're in this for the money. Far be it for me to suggest that. But I'm going chancellor. I know a bunch of presidents. I don't think I know any chancellors.
All right. Well, I'm down with it. We'll go with that from there. The college football enjoyer would be a really very pragmatic way to describe what it is that you do. So I'll ask you this. Is the Big 12 the most enjoyable conference this year?
Yes, it is. I called it America's College Football Conference the other day, and I'm kind of going to run with that moniker because, as you know, this day and age, people are great at hearing you say what you didn't say. So I say the Big 12 is America's College Football Conference. I get 37 people immediately responding with, they're not better than the SEC. Well, no one really said they were, but all I've done is I've listened and I've aggregated the things that people say they don't like about college football right now. They don't like players constantly moving around. They don't like that everything's become mercenary, pay for play in NIL. They don't like the coaches moving around as much as they do. I don't want to gloss over that either. They say all these things. And they say they want more competitive balance on top of all that. And I say, well, I've got a place where virtually every team could win the conference. There isn't a ton of pay for play NIL bidding war going on. It's traditional recruiting, development, and you've got really good coaching, and it's the Big 12. That's what it is. And yet when I say it, people reject it. So I just want folks to make up their minds. Like, is that really what you want? I think the Big 12 represents, to this day, the purest form of American college football that exists. And so, yeah, it's going to be really fun to watch. It may not produce a national champion. It may not produce more than one playoff team. But I love the regular season way more than I love the playoff anyway. So that's fine with me.
I haven't asked anybody about Colorado yet. I've done about three or four of these interviews and haven't gotten to the Buffaloes. I mean, I feel like they're a bowl team this year. They have two of the top 10 players maybe in all of college football, two guys who might be top 10 draft choices, and yet 6-6 feels like where they're going to be. Am I wrong? Am I right? Am I high? Am I low?
Yeah, it's really interesting because what you said there, I don't want to gloss over. They may have the two highest profile NFL draft types in the entire conference. And yet their over-under win total is 5.5, I think, right now. So 6 would be an over. 6 would be a bowl game. My theory on this is life's going to be really hard for them in the Big 12. And the reason is actually the inverse of what people expect. So I think a lot of folks are going to look at maybe some NFL talent. And who knows, the left tackle they brought in, the true freshman, Jordan Seaton, he profiles as a future NFL guy as well, but he's never played it down a college ball. But let's just say they have a few frontline future first or second round NFL draft picks. The thought is going to be, you're going into the Big 12, that's a conference that's not chock full of future stars. That's a conference not chock full of former 4- and 5-star players. So it'll be easier there. I actually think the opposite. The Big 12 has known what it is for a long time. Kansas State has known. Iowa State has known. These programs have known we are not a bastion of 4- and 5-star, you know, recruits for a long time. So they've built their program accordingly. And what you have is you got a bunch of bowling balls out there who are made up of 4th- and 5th-year starters, and they're rock-solid team guys. A lot of them know they're not even going to play on Sunday, but if they are, this is still probably the peak of their careers, and they're all in for the team. They're all in for the brand. You hardly ever hear, like, negative headlines. You never hear about diva mentality or those kinds of attitudes, and the reason I say that is because those are really, really hard teams to beat. They don't beat themselves, so you've got to go beat them, and what they'll do is they'll shake your tree every week. And if you're not put together, it'll shake you loose really quick. And then you don't get a break. You just have to go play another one and another one and another one. And you keep looking across the ball saying, wait, hardly any of these guys are going to play on Sundays. Why is it so hard to beat them? Well, because you're playing a team. You're not playing individuals. That's why it's hard to beat them.
I don't know what the term is for group of five anymore. I guess it's group of six, but it's, I've heard at-large representative, whatever you want to call it. Who will that team be in the college football playoff this year?
Well, I was looking at that last night. We had a bold prediction from a viewer on our show. They were asking how many teams named after the Tiger, how many Tiger mascot teams will make the playoff? And so you're thinking about Auburn or Missouri or LSU, et cetera. Well, I did not realize Memphis is at least favored right now to win the AAC. Mm-hmm. That's a Tiger for the record. So maybe Memphis, Tulane is in that conversation. I always keep an eye on Liberty. I think off the top of my head, like, I still don't want to write off Tulane. I think John Summerall brought a really good staff with him. I think Summerall's a rising star just as a head coach himself. And I think they could do some damage this year. So I keep an eye on Tulane, although I know Memphis is the current odds-on favorite to do it.
I know these two games are a week apart, so you could go to both. But if I told you you could only go to one, would you rather go to Georgia at Texas or Ohio State at Oregon?
Ohio State at Oregon is the one I'd rather go to. First off, both of them could be rematches in their conference title games. Yeah. The reason I opted for Ohio State Oregon is because I went out there for the UCLA Oregon game a couple of years ago, and it was my first Oregon game. It's the only one I've been to. Mm-hmm. And I got to see a day game there. It was one of those noon kickoffs, so it's 3:30 on the East Coast, or 3 o'clock, 3:30, whatever on the East Coast. So it was a good day, but I kept thinking to myself, you know, they're running up the score. They're winning comfortably. Place is still fairly insane. What must this place be like for a premier night game? And that's what I think that Ohio State game will be. Now, here's the other thing. They have an F1 race in Austin the same weekend that Georgia is in town. Just total nightmare. Total nightmare. I went over there a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to Sark about it. He said, do you have a hotel room? And I said, no, I don't know for sure I'm coming to that game. And he said, you've got to move on that now or you will have no shot. You'll have to go stay in like Dallas or Houston or something like that. So there will be other times to see Texas and Georgia in high profile games this year. In the Big Ten, man, that's still a top heavy conference to me. So when two of the big boys face off, I think I need to be there for that one.
Let's talk a little Mississippi State. Can Blake Shapen be what Dylan Gabriel and Matt Corral were in a Jeff Lebby offense?
One of the big questions in the conference this year. I don't. My inclination, like my lean, is no, but it's not a hard no. It's like a lowercase no, and it's written in pencil because I've seen what Lebby can do before.
Right.
To me, let's just say they get that, or let's say they get like a B to B plus version of that relative to what those other guys had been. My other question with them is, in a complimentary fashion, how do they play? Like we did the show. I had Lebby on the show a couple of months ago, and I asked them about hiring and the philosophy behind hiring and how, you know, thoughtfully you have to be on your style of offense when you hire defensively. And, you know, he said all the right things, but my point kind of remains is that plays per minute, they are the highest tempo offense in the country. And he hired a defensive coordinator who hasn't held that position before. Yeah. And when I go back just in history, in the history of college football, especially the recent history of the more hurry-up style offense, that's always been a red flag. Historically, doesn't mean there aren't exceptions, but when you have up-tempo plays per minute in the top 10 percentile and you don't have experience at the defensive coordinator position, it has been a recipe for disaster in the past. So independent of what Shapen gives them, let's just say he gives them B-level play relative to past guys Lebby's had, how does that impact the team overall is my bigger question.
I've talked to some people over at State who've been at State for a long time, going back to when Dan Mullen first arrived here in Starkville. And they tell me, you know, I get similar vibes. You know, that Mullen and Lebby, they have the same kind of confidence, maybe even a little bit of arrogance in their ability to coach offense, that they like what they see from Lebby. Can Jeff Lebby do for Mississippi State what Dan Mullen was able to do, and just in terms of elevating the program?
That's a really good comparison. I would not have thought of it that way, but having been around both of them, at least the not blind confidence, but the really, really unshakable confidence in their way offensively working, yeah, they've got that. I think Lebby is a whole lot more serious and passionate about recruiting mm-hmm. instead of just saying the right things about recruiting than Dan Mullen was, per se. I think the long-term answer is yes, but it's got to be given the right amount of time. And my other concern, and this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Lebby, but my one concern is how do the folks at Mississippi State react this year if Ole Miss wins the SEC and goes and wins a playoff game, does something they've never done in program history, and you struggle to make a bowl game or don't make a bowl game? Like, do people understand we've got to view ourselves in a vacuum? We shouldn't be putting more pressure on our guy because of what the guy up the road did. Even though it sucks, like it doesn't feel great, still, we need to view ourselves in a vacuum. That's easy to say in June. No one thinks that way when emotion gets injected into the conversation in November. So if, conditionally, all of those are met, yeah, he could do that. I would even say he could exceed it, because a lot of coaches think Lebby is the next rising star in the industry. Like, a lot of them have thought that, and you've got him there. It's just got to be given time to make it work.
It really hits on something I've been saying a lot, that, you know, Mississippi State fans need to enjoy the college football season independent of what happens in Oxford this year, because they're going to be good, and there's really no getting around that. And if that tampers with your enjoyment, well, then you're not going to have a good college football season. I am, because I love college football, and I'm not going to worry about what happens in Oxford till we get there on Black Friday. Josh Pate, Late Kick with Josh Pate, the premier voice in college football for my money. Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.